We saw it in preparation for seeing the last one because we were able to go to a special screening in New York because we know one of the people in the movie. And we really enjoyed it. It's a super fun, watchable film. And I was surprised by that. I really enjoyed it, and it's exactly what I needed that night. I was like, oh, it's... And it gets exciting real quick and stays exciting for a long time.
I saw this 5 times in the theater. I saw it 5 times in the theater.
Are you joking?
I am not joking.
Hey, everybody. Joining FlixWatch today, we have James III.
Hello.
We have Bill.
Hello, that's Bill Demand, folks.
And we have Kobe.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Thank you, as always, to Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for editing our podcast. Please do remember to head over to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and a massively glowing review. And also join the conversation with us on Twitter at FlixWatcherPod or on Instagram at FlixWatcher.
Film fans, joining FlixWatch today, we have James and Bill. Over to you, please, Bill, to say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hello, folks. I'm Bill Demerit, or William Demerit, coming to you from New York City. I'm a actor, writer, audiobook narrator, adjunct faculty at NYU Tisch School of the Arts, graduate of the Yale School of Drama, trying to move to California, about to leave next week to go do Henry VI
oh, wow.
for 4.5 months at the Old Grove Theater in San Diego. I can't wait to do it. I have a movie coming out, I hope, called Floaters with Seth Green and Aya Cash, who are awesome people. Go to Audible or one of the other places and look me up and listen to some books. And yeah, there you go. That's me.
We have a returning guest on the other side, bottom left of the screen, as I can see him.
Hey, it's James III. It's good to be back. I was actually in the UK the last time I did this podcast.
Pre-pandemic, guys, we used to record this podcast face-to-face, but now we do it remotely, and it means that we can speak to people on the East Coast and the West Coast of the States. It's opened up a whole new realm to us. But yes, we saw...
Or on Isla Nublar in Costa Rica.
Well, there you go. Boom.
Yes.
On top of the volcano.
The 5 deaths. I really appreciate being here. I'm an actor, I'm a comedian, I'm a podcaster, and I'm also a comic book writer, and I have a comic book company. It's called Rule of Three, Inc. There's a comic series called Junior that is available on Kickstarter now. It's spooky hijinks. So think of movies like The Mummy, Ghostbusters, Army of Darkness, Beetlejuice, any Tim Burton Netherworld thing is sort of the vibe of the comic series. And it's inspired by a personal story, but the comic itself is about father-son working together in the afterlife and all of the hilarity that ensues.
So how can people get it?
So you can get it by going to Kickstarter. You can search for Junior, search for Daddy Issues, Junior Daddy Issues on Kickstarter, because it is about me and my personal daddy issues. And or you could follow me at Rule of Three, Inc., and all of the information is there, ruleofthreeinc.com as well.
By the way, when the Kickstarter finishes, because sometimes people listen to this afterwards, how do people get the goods after the Kickstarter?
I host, and also I should say this, since I don't know if the majority of your listeners are in the UK or where all of your listeners are, but I, as of right now, physical copies on the Kickstarter, it just says that it's only available in the US, but digital copies you can get anywhere in the world. And also, if anyone listening ends up being interested in donating and wants something physical, you can reach out to me and let me know. I've already had somebody in Canada be like, I want a copy. It's really easy to make it available in other places, but you got to let me know you want it first. It's not just going to be available anywhere. You got to let me know you want it.
Well, we're here talking today about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Tell us first of all why you chose it, and then I'll give you 60 seconds for the synopsis.
So when I saw that this was available on Netflix in the UK, I was like, well, we have to do Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. There's 2 reasons for it. Or maybe I guess 1 reason. They're all connected. I love the Jurassic films. I love them. They are my favorite movie. My wedding ring has dinosaur bone in it.
Oh,
and
wow.
A quote from
no
Jurassic
way.
Park on the inside.
His wife loves him.
Jurassic Park 3 was read at our wedding.
What's the quote?
It's the scene in the tree with William H. Macy and Taya Leone, and they're talking about they are divorced in the film. But
what's this? Jurassic Park 3?
3, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even remember that Taya Leone did one of these.
No,
movies.
I didn't know. I was like,
yeah,
what?
She was great in it, by the way. So was William H. Macy. And they, essentially, they're talking about their relationship, and it's kind of just, it's a little beautiful little scene. And so I picked this movie also because this one is one of the, I think the world movies are controversial in the Jurassic part. I mean, I think a lot of people have issues with Jurassic sequels, but this one in particular came very quickly on the heels of Jurassic World. And so I think that, you know, it has, it's a polarizing movie, I would say.
Is
so,
it?
I think so. This one. I think so. Probably compared to what we're, how we're going to talk, I feel like is going to be.
I think The Joker is a polarizing movie.
Different
I don't know Jurassic
the-
World is a polarizing movie.
I think this
okay,
one,
fine.
I think anything in the Jurassic films, because normally we ask about not spoiling the different films. I think this one, but there's a bit more leeway because it's, look, it's Jurassic World. You've seen it if you want to see it. If you don't want to see it, then you've not seen it.
Right.
So I think we can, I think we'll talk a bit more loosely about five other films in the franchise. There might be a discussion as to whether there should be five other films in the franchise, but we can certainly.
And that's a great discussion to have.
Yeah.
Should life really find a way?
It just does. It's not even, you know, we can't control it.
So the synopsis timer, 60 seconds starts now.
Okay, so this follows the film Jurassic World, where they created an actual Jurassic Park on Isla Nublar, the first island from the first Jurassic Park film. But now the dinosaurs are in danger. There's a volcano that's endangering them. And Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard have to go back to the island to try to save the dinosaurs. But oh, but there's something crazy going on. The engine is actually up to no good. Once again, they're trying to take the dinosaurs back and auction them off and, you know, get the DNA all over the world and potentially, you know, potentially lead to a new world order. You know what I'm saying? You know, Jurassic might be Jurassic all over the world is what this movie's about.
The title.
It's about the fallen. It's about the kingdom of Jurassic World that has fallen.
I feel you've not told us anything there, James. Well, I'm going to stop your timer there.
James, I feel you haven't told us anything about the movie.
Can someone do a Jeff Goldblum impression, please?
Is Ian Malcolm here telling me I didn't explain the movie? I feel like that was the movie.
No, Isla Nublar? You called it Isla Nublar.
Yes. So I will explain why I call it that. Because in The Lost World, Sir Richard Attenborough refers to it as Isla Nublar. And everyone else calls it Isla Nublar. And I...
He probably says Isla Nublar. Probably.
Thank you. That is how he says it. And that was in 1997. He said that in 1997, and that was forever the way you pronounce the name of that island.
It's like a hate crime when you say it that way.
That's how he said it, and that is how I say it.
I will say I have seen, I actually don't know which Jurassic Park movies I've seen. I know I've seen the first one, and I love the first one, and I saw it when they re-released it, and I was like, it still works on the big screen. Wow, it's still magical. I love Taya Leone. I don't know if I've seen the third one. This is the fourth?
And where's Taya Leone? Where has she been?
She was on a long-running TV show here in the United States, okay, called Madam Secretary. And hanging out with Tim Daly. They're a long romantic couple. Tim Daly, the greatest voice of Superman we've had. And then the Fallen Kingdom. That's this one?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Fallen
that's the one we just
that's
watched.
That's the
yeah.
fourth one?
That's it is the fifth one.
So the one that just came out a little while ago, that's the sixth one.
This is the sixth
it's
one.
It's six. And the... Yeah. And the one that is coming out next year or the year after. Next year feels insane.
There's another one.
It's number seven.
Are they going to the moon to space with Adam Sandler? What's left for them to do?
They brought David Kep back and...
I don't know who that is.
He wrote The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Not The Amazing Spider-Man 2. He wrote Spider-Man 2.
Okay, I was about to say, because writing The Amazing Spider-Man
among,
2, that is not a
among other things,
mark.
But was the co-writer of the first Jurassic and wrote the second. And wrote The Lost. Anyway, I'm excited that he's back. I think, you know, what they're doing is going
to
be fun.
Well, if they bring Alfred Molina over from Spider-Man 2 for Jurassic Park,
they
then
may.
I'll be very happy.
As a
okay.
dinosaur.
They may. ScarJo's supposed to be in it.
So here's why I admit some things as well, like Bill. I saw Jurassic Park 1 in the cinema. It's probably in my top 10 films I've ever seen in my entire life. As a result of loving it so much, when Jurassic Park 2 and 3 came out, I was like, I don't need to watch these films because they're not going to be anywhere near as good as Jurassic Park.
I felt the same fucking way, Kobe.
And
see you, bro.
But then Jurassic World came out and I was like, I need to watch this because it'd been like 20, I don't know how long it had been. And my stupid cinema nerddom made me watch Fallen Kingdom. Well, actually, Jay Bayona made me watch the second one because I think he's an astonishing director. And I think this is the best of the sequel trilogy. And then I had to go and see Dominion, which is the worst of any film I've ever seen in my life. But I should go and watch 2 and 3 for completeness sake. But one thing I'd say for yourself, Bill, is that I used to love Chris Pratt. This is a Parks and Rec thing, maybe. But his character in these films just doesn't make any sense. And the name Owen Grady and the name Claire Dearing, they're just not characters you even remember.
Those names don't work.
No.
I don't know why they don't work. They don't work. And also, look, I love Chris Pratt as Star-Lord. I think he's great. And I understand the rules of Star-Lord. I don't understand the rules of Owen because sometimes he's funny.
You need to watch Dominion then. You need to watch Dominion. You'll be really angry.
Yeah. Sometimes he's a like a Indiana Jones badass.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's paternal. Like, and he never really seems to fully fill that slot. Like it kind of works because Chris Pratt is good at what he does.
Yeah.
So I'm with him. I'm with him. But right. I'm like, there's something. The girl, who is the girl?
Maisie.
That plays.
What's
her name?
The little girl?
No, the woman.
All right.
Who plays the doctor?
Dallas Howard.
No, the paleo veterinarian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the Latina actress who plays the...
Yeah, what's her name?
She was great, and I want to see her in more stuff. She was awesome.
She was good.
And Bryce Dallas Howard, who I respect as a director, because she directed, I think, some episodes of Mandalorian that were really good.
I think she's a fantastic all-round person.
I don't know. I'm sure she's a lovely person.
Well, as an actor and as a, because she played Elton John's mum in Rocket Man. It took me a while to twig it was her. She played some amazing, you've been in Black Mirror, James Third. She played an amazing character in Black Mirror. I think she's a great actor.
Humble brag.
That episode's great.
And her directing is fantastic. She's done some of the best episodes of Mandalorian. So for me, she's like, she's got some chops about her.
As an actor, it's this weird thing where she's very charming and photogenic, and probably because of her dad, she knows like how to use a camera on both ends. Right. But I always end up with her, but it's always a little bit reluctant because I don't think she's that great a film actress actually. And I bet for a long time, she and Jessica Chastain were like going back and forth.
Oh, absolutely.
And there was a whole bit on like on the Tonight Show with, they actually get mistaken for each other all the time. I think Jessica Chastain is a fantastic film actress. But yeah, I like Bryce Dallas Howard, but she just doesn't. The little girl in the movie is fantastic. And, you know, Bryce, she does it. She and Chris have a nice chemistry, but she seems like she's trying too hard sometimes. She does a lot of big eyes and I'm surprised. I'm scared at this thing. And it's like, just do the thing. You don't have to try so hard.
Daniela Pineda is the name.
Thank you.
Oh, right. Yeah. Can I just say really quickly about Bryce Dallas Howard specifically is Claire is my favorite new character in Jurassic. Like I thought of the new people that we get in these new movies, that character to me is the most interesting one. And I think that that's a testament to her acting in this, you know, everybody's doing their best with what they have in these movies, but like specifically her and in Jurassic World, not so much this movie, but in Jurassic World, I just really like that character and like in the journey that she has.
Wait, you like her more than Jeff Goldblum or BD Wong?
I find what they do with, you haven't seen Dominion yet, but I find what they do with Henry, it's bizarre. It's all crazy. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
One of my favorite parts of this movie is that like BD Wong is revealed to be the kind of the bad guy the whole time.
Just for continuation's sake, you should watch Dominion just to close the loop, close the cycle there, because...
Yeah.
It wouldn't be satisfactorily, but it will be closed.
And when they introduce him in this movie, he says, "You don't have the slightest comprehension of what I'm doing here." And that's honestly how you feel when you see him. You're like, "Why is he here? I don't know why he's in this movie right now." Anyway,
but
sorry.
But he's great, and we love him. I hope he do.
Absolutely.
I like
him. No, yeah,
I like
he's fantastic.
More. Oh, shoot. Wait. See, for me, with the exception of Goldblum's character, Malcolm, and Beatty's character. That's one of my biggest problems with the Jurassic Park films, actually.
It's the characterization. It's
I enjoy the characters. Like, I enjoy Bryce Dallas's character. I enjoy Chris Pratt's character. Clearly, I can't remember their names, right? And I care about them in the film, but I don't go to Jurassic Park to see the characters. I hope that they're good and played by interesting people, but I go for what's going to happen to the dinosaurs. And the little girl in this film, you said Maisie or whatever the heck her name is.
That's her character name.
She was great. I'm like, why isn't she in the next one? Like, she has an interesting story.
She is in the next one. Well, I don't know if she's in 7, but she is in Dominion.
What? She was in Dominion?
Yes.
I don't even remember that.
Let's just, Helen, your thoughts on Jurassic as a franchise and this film specifically.
So I think we're all in agreement that Jurassic Park is one of the greatest films ever made, and that it deserves
it's fucking great.
Every shining torch that we can give to it. I mean, I kind of stuck with 2 and 3, and then I did watch World, but I didn't watch it at the cinema, and I kind of tapped out then. So this is my first time watching it, and I just feel so sad that the further away we get from Jurassic Park, all of the stuff that made it amazing, the suspense, like the dino reveals, like it's all just gone, and it's just stupid. Like, why are they doing this? Like, why would someone buy a dinosaur for $4 million? Like, I'm watching this, I'm like, you know what? I don't care if Chris Pratt gets eaten by a dinosaur. You know what? Eat dinosaurs you should eat. I feel really sorry for the dinos. Like, they're looking, going, we deserve better than this. We're dinos, for God's sake. We deserve to be feared. We deserve great things. And I do feel really sorry for them. Like, at least this is better than Jurassic.
Yeah, so sad when they burn up on the island.
Jurassic, the one before, the first Jurassic World, because at least Bryce Dallas Howard has proper shoes in this one. Like, she's not running around in high heels. So it's a plus on that. But yeah, it's... like Toby Jones in it. What's he doing in there? I don't know. There's just things that happen and you're like, oh, okay. But like the best bit, the bit I enjoyed the most was where the dinosaur pretends to be asleep.
Yeah.
And he's like with the tail cool. And you're like, that's great dino acting.
The second most intelligent species in the world. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not the most.
But is Blue the character you feel for the most in the film?
I think so. Like,
probably, yeah.
The Velociraptor.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going back to what you're saying, Bill, in that, and it's the thing that a lot of superhero and comic book films miss out, is that you need the characterization so you can care about the people. And this is happening what Helen was saying as well. If Owen Grady, that's his name, I'm checking it, I'm reading it again. Yes, Owen Grady and Claire Dearing. If Owen Grady got killed...
You have to read it.
I would not care one bit. If Claire Dearing got killed, I'd be a bit more sad than Owen Grady, but still, like, if Justice Smith got killed, his character being Franklin Webb, which is a better name, if he got killed, I'd be, oh man, I quite liked him. But you don't care about these human characters. But in the first film... You really do.
Yeah.
You get into them.
No, and you're like, you are.
Except that little boy who should have fucking died. That little boy should have died in that first movie. He was fucking around and he should have found out.
Tim was great.
He got electrocuted.
I just have to out myself. I thought Justice Smith was Will Smith's kid the whole time.
Did you?
And I was wrong.
No way.
Yeah, I did.
I need to clarify that my favorite new human character is Claire. But my favorite new character is Blue, and I think that's something that the world movies do well is the characterization of the dinosaur. Like, you literally, I think there's a lot of problems with Dominion, but one of its biggest problems is it doesn't understand Blue. Like, it doesn't understand that, like, we literally, Blue could have been a spy in Dominion. That's all I'm gonna say.
Wanted it to pick up, because this movie ends and, like, Blue is, like, looking out over Arizona, like Santa Fe or wherever. I wanted to see that movie.
Yeah.
What happens when Blue goes into...
That's what everyone wants to see. That's what everyone wants to see.
Every movie, I feel like they set up, the dinosaurs are out in the world and we have to deal with them out in the world. And I never feel like we really get that.
It's a shame, yeah. It's a shame.
Like they do in Planet of the Apes, they deal with it.
You want them like tapping on the windows while people watching TV or like going into the gym where like people are doing their weights and stuff and throwing weights around and like causing chaos really, in there.
If Blue would have been running around the neighborhood and like peeking in people's garages and stuff and like getting in their trash and like all kinds of like, I would have loved that. I would have loved that.
That's the Adam Sandler comedy version.
The second most intelligent creature in the world.
So my understanding is in Dominion, they go on holiday to Italy. Is that right?
It's called, it's Jurassic Park, Eat, Pray, Love, Eat Again.
They do some yoga and meditation.
I don't remember the Italy, but I just remember the focus turning onto giant crickets about the size of like a rat instead of dinosaurs.
Yeah. And that's the thing. All these movies, with the exception of the first one, have all blended together for me. But I will say, James, at first when I was like, fuck, I have to watch Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom again, I watched it with Cass and we couldn't figure out, we're like, we've seen this. When did we see this? We had no idea when we saw it. And we figured out that we saw it in preparation for seeing the last one because we were able to go to a special screening in New York because we know one of the people in the movie. And we really enjoyed it during the pandemic. It's a super fun, watchable film. And I was surprised by that. And I think it's very rewatchable. And I really enjoyed it. And it's exactly what I needed that night. I was like, oh, and it gets exciting real quick and stays exciting for a long time.
The thing about this film is it's a brain out film, which is fine. But I think the problem is with this is that it's comparing with one of the best films that's ever been made. And this is a significant drop off from there. But if someone said, here's a film with dinosaurs in it, and don't worry about the human characters, they may not be good or not, who cares? There's dinosaurs in it. There's some genuinely good bits with, I mean, Jay Bayona's like monster in the house bits where I can't remember if it's Blue or a different dinosaur Fantastic. Creeping around and getting mazed. Those bits were genuinely creepy.
Indominoraptor, what is it?
Indoraptor. Yeah. Those kind of scenes were genuinely kind of like scary and did hark back to what we saw in the first film. Not as successful, but it had that kind of feeling again. But then I think part of it also, just to finish, is it's the same thing like with the sequel trilogy in Star Wars, where the last film is for nothing. So now I'm watching this thinking it's not going to go anywhere interesting. So why do I care while I'm watching it? So I think it's undermined it.
I wish they would have finished that last Star Wars trilogy. I really wish they would have come out with that. I don't know why I never got that. It's not quite Fast and the Furious turn your brain off, but yeah, you're.
But I think they want it to be.
They want it to be emotional.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because, you know, you would need character. You need character in order for an audience to feel emotion.
they always do a good job, though, of making you really grateful when the bad guy gets eaten. They do a really good job of that.
Yeah.
There are two very satisfying bad guy getting eaten moments in this movie, like so satisfying.
Yeah.
And where's that little Ankylosaurus? I love him. He's great. Bring him right. back.
He was the hero.
Just headbutting motherfuckers left and right, flying right. into the air.
No one gets eaten
on a
toilet,
though. Got his little concussion.
Though.
He's like, oh.
You are Helen.
Wait, what?
No one gets eaten while they're toilet, which is just like...
The closest we get is them being excited about being in the elevator and then the door opening again. Like, that's the most, like, you think you're safe and, oh, actually, no, you're not. Like...
Well, no. When not Will Smith's kid was climbing up the ladder.
Okay.
Oh, that's a fun moment too.
Yeah. And he was like, we're safe. And then the fucking ladder comes down and he's got the lava and the dinosaur. Yeah, that was good. That was one of those moments.
I'll also say this one has to me, of the sequel movies, has the strongest opening since Jurassic Park. Like the opening sequence is
that opening's good. That
just
opening
like a solid. Lot of like turns and like so many dino deaths. Like there are so many. Like it's fun.
Guys, is there anything else we want to talk about before we head to the scores?
Yeah, I feel like we did a really good job of popcorning, but without any kind of real message other than the fun, exciting dinosaurs. But that's kind of the movie.
It is.
Right?
It's a bit when the T-Rex comes out. And at the end, when you don't know where it is and chomps the other dinosaur, you know, there's those tropes.
This does the, like, you see one dinosaur and you're like, oh, he's going to get it. Oh, nope. You see another dinosaur. Oh, he's really going to get it with it. Oh, nope. And then, you know, and then, of course, the T-Rex gets him. But it's like they set up, there's a handful of like, how's he going to get it? We don't quite know, like teases.
There is the what I think is kind of the dumb thing of, we're running out of ideas. Ooh, what if they make a super dinosaur?
You know?
And I know they wanted it to look evil and scary, and it kind of did, but it also looked kind of dumb because it had that like little,
it had weird the little
stuff on its head,
crest, yeah, or feathers, yeah.
So, yeah, it's they're like running out of shit to do, and I think going back to the sort of horror-ish roots.
Well, they did. They had the dinosaur blood transfusion scene, which is weird, and
you know that whole scene though when they're trying to when they're in the truck with the T-Rex,
yeah,
that is great. That's
so much fun.
That's so fun.
And the concocting the I mean, I was never on board for this, but this I've been in the message boards. I've been in the Jurassic message boards from the beginning. And a thing that people have been talking about is like, when are they gonna do hybrid? Blah blah blah. Like people have been like, that's been the thing. People have been like, oh, I can't wait for this. I'll be like, I don't think I ever need to see that. But it's that thing of like they went to the well. They're like, what do we have? Well, I guess they're combining this dinosaur and this dinosaur now. You know, like it was fan service in that way. Again, it was not serving me specifically as a fan, but I think like there is a corner of the world that's like, oh, that's what I want for my Jurassic movie. You know, I want weird hybrid dinosaurs.
Well,
all right, ready.
Let's get to the score. There you go. Scores.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from Flixwatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
So welcome to our Flixwatcher scores. All of the scores are out of 5. You can have decimal places if you wish, and we'll start with you, please, James, with your recommendability.
Yeah, okay, so this one's tough because, as I've already said, I love all the Jurassic parks. All the Jurassic Worlds, etc., except for Dominion. That one sucks. But there's a lot of caveats for this. And so I think for me, I would give this a 2 in terms of the recommendability. I would still recommend it, but I need to know what you want to get out of your Jurassic movies before recommending it to you. And this is pretty low on my, it hops around between 3, 4, and 5 on my list of faves, never taking the final slot because everything's better than Dominion, but yeah, so it just depends. I would give it a 2. I would give it a 2.
Bill,
I'm gonna give it 2 sets of ratings. If you just want to sit and eat some popcorn and be like, oh, what's oh, stuff running, is she gonna die? You know, good 4, 4.5. Like, I was with it the whole time. I enjoyed it. It's exciting. It's dumb. It's like, you feel bad for the dinosaurs. Go dinosaurs. If you want like a film, you know, and if you want intellectual stimulation and you want something more, this is total reptile brain, pun intended, I guess, entertainment. Danger, not danger. Danger, not danger. Pretty person, not pretty person. Like, it's all that stuff. So if you want that 4, 4.5, fucking go get the popcorn, curl up with someone, have fun any time of day. If you want a real film experience, you know, I would say even like the first Iron Man, it's a superhero film, but it's like a really great movie, I think. I would put this one at like a, I don't know, like a 2, 2.5, something like that.
Well, which one do you want?
Come on. I'll be nice and I'll give it a 2, 2.5.
Helen.
Yeah, so I mean, the choice is there. You can live your life without ever having seen it, or you can go on in. It's a stinker. It really is a stinker, but it's your decision to make. It's such a shame because, like you say, Jay Abiona, he's got the skills, and it just feels that he's been handed a script that doesn't really make sense, but he's kind of doing all the stuff that is written down on the script. So yeah, I'm gonna go down the half. The 2.5. It's your decision if you want to go there.
Y'all are really harsh in this.
Your reviews are beautiful.
I'm gonna go for 3.5. It serves a purpose, but outside of the rest of the Jurassic World, Jurassic franchise, I'd say. I just did some research on Jurassic World 4, and Gareth Edwards, who did Monsters, Creator, and not Andor, what was the film got kicked off of? Rogue One, ostensibly. I'm interested. Godzilla, I'd be interested to see. I'm interested to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, the next one, yeah.
Yeah, as long as he's got, as long as he's allowed to tell the story that he wants to tell, I think it'll be interesting. And I will be there and I'll go to the cinema and watch it. Like I say, it's an easy watch. It's an easy watch. I don't hate it. And I like the dinosaurs. They do some interesting stuff. They kill some bad people. But yeah, Dominion just ruins everything, doesn't it? So I'm trying to separate it from Dominion. So 3.5.
And I just want to echo the team on the next movie truly is fantastic. Like it could be a great movie,
yeah.
You know, if they wanted to make one.
It's too late for them to put you in it.
It's not about that. It's not about me. I'm not. Listen, let's go to the, what's the next one? What's the next score?
Repeat viewing score.
Okay, so this is high for me. I saw this 5 times in the theater. I saw it 5 times in the theater.
Are you joking?
I am not joking. I am not joking. That's
mental?
How much I enjoy these Jurassic movies. I saw it 5 times in the theaters. And then to set you up, to let you understand my viewing of these, I only saw Dominion once, and then it took me 2 years to watch it again. So like that was wild for me. So it's high. It's a five for me. 5 repeat viewing. I will say I think the first 2 scenes after that opening sequence are so boring to me that I would get up and go get popcorn every time. Like every time, like I don't need to watch these scenes. So 5 for repeat.
I think every film would be beneficial of a guide like that, which says,
yeah.
After the first 25 minutes, that's when you get your popcorn, that's when you go to the toilet, that's when you check your phone, make sure you're back, and you would not have missed out. You would have made the best of your time.
That can be the other podcast.
Yeah.
When to get popcorn.
For me, rewatchable. I realize now with streaming, especially with like background shows, there are parts of films I'll rewatch. Like I just rewatched part of the opening of The Flash, because that Batman Wonder Woman thing is like the best Batman that we've had in the DCU. So I just watched that part. The rest of that movie in the trash.
I like the giant spider sequence in that, when they actually show the Nick. That made all of it worth it. I was like, well, I'm glad they made it for this.
10 years. For me, I was surprised, because going into this, I was like, fuck, I gotta rewatch this movie. I had a blast. And I will probably do a Jurassic Park marathon at some point to prep for the next film. Because, you know, the plots are really important. You have to know exactly what happened in the last film in order to understand the next one. It's just like with Fast and the Furious. And yeah, you know, I'm going to say rewatchable, like 5. It's super fun. Maybe not 8 times, but yeah, definitely rewatchable for me.
Helen.
It's so wild that you've seen this 5 times at the cinema, James.
And I've seen it way more at home. I almost didn't rewatch it for this. And then I was like, you know what? I will rewatch. I will put it on again. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Is this your most rewatched film in the cinema?
That is a good question. I think a few have capped at 5. I think I saw like Endgame 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Dude, we had a great time.
Yeah.
When we fucking saw.
Endgame, I get Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame's super rewatchable.
But you need to understand the Jurassic movies are to me what like any comic book film is to like the anyone who reads comic books 7 a day, you know, that type of person.
Like some dude wearing a Wonder Woman t-shirt.
Exactly. Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, yeah. To me, that's what the Jurassic movies are. So sorry, you were giving your.
I'm really sorry. I don't want to see this again. It's also like it's well over 2 hours. Like it's a long time.
It's okay. James has seen it enough times. You don't have to watch it again.
Yeah, so
it's arguably too long. Some might say entirely too long.
You know, if it had been like 90 minutes, I'd probably be like, you know what? This is all right, but it's an hour and a half. I'm sorry. No, one.
One? Oof. So I'm going to... This kind of rating's coming from Jurassic Park, number 1. Recommendability, just a touch under 5 because it's scary in places. Repeat viewings for that, though, is like off the scale. Like, whenever someone says, let's watch Jurassic Park, I'm like, yeah, fucking yeah, I'm doing it. I'll travel to see you. You're 5 miles, you're 5 hours away. I'll drive to see you to watch Jurassic Park with you. This is not that, but I think it's the most rewatchable of the ones I've seen. So that equates to like a 3. I will watch it again because it's, again, you don't really need to pay attention. James, I'm going to ask you for those sections where I can go and get popcorn, where I can go and do my laundry.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you.
If I'm doing it at home, where I can make a smoothie and settle in for the next bit. And then, yeah, perfect. Perfect watching where I can check my email, I can do my taxes. But yeah, like three. Small screen score, James. Five times at cinema, there's got to be a low small screen score.
No, I actually think of all of them, this is the most one that you could watch on a small screen, particularly okay. because of all of those sequences in the house. There's a lot of just like one dinosaur stalking people down hallways and corridors. And so for that, I think I'd say 3.5 on a small screen. I can also watch a Jurassic on any screen. So, but I, you know, of all of them, this one doesn't, even though that sequence with all the dinosaurs is apparently the most dinosaurs that have been on screen in a Jurassic Park movie when they're running through the
Strap line. That's what they wanted from this film. We want the most. Make it the most.
But yeah, 3.5 for me.
I was surprised how well it worked on the TV. Would prefer it on the big screen, but yeah, I mean 3.5, it works great.
Helen.
I think I've only seen Jurassic Park on the big screen.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the original. Have you only seen it once? How many times have you seen it?
Well, I've seen it like loads of times, but it's the only one that I've seen at the cinema. I've seen it like twice at the cinema and like multiple times.
I mean, that's the only one you've seen on the... Okay, sorry. Yeah. I misinterpreted. Yeah, sure.
The fact that I'm struggling to remember the one with the big fish coming out, big fishy dinosaur. I think
that's
I watched
Jurassic
that.
World.
Yeah. No, I think I watched that on TV.
Well, you have that in this as well, where they think they've escaped to the helicopter and then
I was
big
like,
fish comes
I've
out.
Seen that. So, I don't know. I think maybe... I might have got a bit more out of it having watched it in the cinema with other people sitting there going, this is ridiculous. Ha, 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 funny dinosaurs. And I don't know, you know, if what you're saying is true, James, and I'm going to hold you to it, that Jurassic Park number 7 is going to be the one. Like, I may have to...
I do think so.
Go and see it. So I think I'm going to give it a 4. Like, I think I wasn't going to go see it at the cinema. I missed my chance, but I think 7 could be the one.
7 could be the one with Gareth Edwards helming.
Yep.
Yeah, let's whack it at 4. Enjoyed it in cinema, worked well at home, fine. Engagement score, James.
Okay, so like I said, I think this has a pretty strong opening, but then there are scenes immediately following that I'm just sort of like, I don't even need to watch these at all, but then find the rest really engaging. So... I would love to get, because of how thrilling I do find this movie, I would love to give this a 5, but I think I'm going to give it a 4 in terms of engagement. And another thing I just want to highlight, because we've been talking about J.A. Bayona and how he does thrilling movies very well, that there are two very, I thought, like frightening moments in the movie. One is when Maisie is looking through at the museum kind of display and we see the teeth fade into her face. That like legitimately scared me.
It's a great shot.
And then there's this other moment that, to go off of Bill's point, that the Indoraptor looks stupid. There was an image from the poster of the hand, the claw reaching out at Maisie at the bed, in bed. And I thought that looked so stupid. I thought it looked incredibly really? Yep. dumb. Stupid. In every single poster for it. I will say that the tension of the moment in the movie and her like kind of low scream as it was reaching, it like ended up working in sequence for me in a way that I was like, wow, I can't believe that I didn't find this incredibly stupid, because every time I saw it, I thought it was dumb. So I thought that was really engaging in that way. So 4 is my answer.
Bill?
4. I was engaged the whole fucking time. But I mean, my wife and I were also talking shit, so.
Even the popcorn bits.
Those scenes when Ben's like, do you remember me? Do you remember me? I gave you an endowment back in blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, I can't.
During those bits, my wife and I just talked shit about it. So yeah. We were engaged in talking shit about it.
Helen.
So like in this film, there's like dinosaurs are going to be extinct. We're going to rescue them, but we're not going to rescuing them, but I'm not right sure what they were rescuing them from or where they were going to take them. But they get intercepted to be sold on the black market. Like, no, that's kind of cool. And then there's someone who has used dinosaur cloning to clone a person. I'm like, what? What's what?
When you say someone, the original, well, one of the original founders of Jurassic World, your man from
Unbelievable
your man from Succession.
That they breezed past it.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like...
Yeah, it's almost like a minor plot point.
Like, oh. And the rest of it, I was like, this just kind of stuff happening. I wasn't the most engaged in this one, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm gonna give it 2.5. Like, it just throws that oh, I've just cloned my granddaughter.
Daughter. You got it wrong. Yeah.
Sorry.
Cloned his daughter. Yeah.
With dinosaur blood. No. Because that would have been cool. And injected
That's
her
the next one.
With
dinosaur people.
Part dinosaur. If someone said to you,
dinosaur people,
you can get a shot of dino blood, would you do it?
If it was going to make me like a superhero, sure. Only that has to be the promise that I'm going to become a superhero after drinking it or after getting the shot in my veins.
Well, there's got to be a reason behind it, hasn't there? They can't just be like some guy in the bar says, here's some dino blood, do you want me to inject it into you? And be like, no. But obviously there's been a regime, there's been screening processes, and it's guaranteed you're going to be turned into a superhero. You're like, yeah, I'll take it. Give me some of that super human serum stuff. Why not?
And also, what am I going to look like? Am I going to
be
half man, half
yeah.
dinosaur?
Oh,
or
okay.
am I going to... Oh, then no. Then absolutely not. Then
just
I would pass
scaly.
On that one. No, I don't... I have trouble with dry skin, you know, and that's already... it's like, oh, I can't have scales.
I'm going to go 3.5. Look, it's fine. Check in, check out as you feel it. That gives an overall score of 3.34375. That's about right.
It's all my high.
Yeah.
It's every time I gave it a 5 that threw us over.
Well, you had a couple of 5s from you and Bill, but I think it's just.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I think if we got any of the other ones in the franchise, I think they'd be lower. But Jurassic Park would be definitely, apart from, I don't know, small screen score might suffer a bit, but would be a high 4, I would have thought. Troubling our top spot, I would have thought Jurassic Park if we got it here.
I think 2's all right. I think it was a bit harsh on because it wasn't Jurassic Park, but I think I watched that.
I've not seen it.
Wow.
Yeah. I should see it.
It was also rushed in that, like, the book had come out by then, but I think they were going off of some of the manuscript. Like, they weren't it wasn't, finished. And they were just like, we gotta do a sequel, you know. Get it out.
James, Bill, can you tell us where people can find us online and tell us about the things you're up to? Your comic book, your stage shows, your audiobooks. Do it. Plug away.
I'm the editor of James's comics at Rule of Three, so he will tell you more about that. If you're in California, come to San Diego at the Old Globe and see some Shakespeare. I'll be doing Henry VI from, July through September. Go to any audiobook place and put my name in there and hear lots of cool audiobooks. And I got some stuff on HBO you can check out, like The Flight Attendant and The Normal Heart, and hopefully The Floaters with Seth Green and Iacash will be coming out.
Are you on Flight Attendant?
Year,
are you on that? I saw season 1.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in 4 episodes.
Okay.
2 in the first season, 2 in the second season.
Okay.
I'm her brother-in-law.
Oh, cool.
The husband of the T.R. Knight who was on Grey's Anatomy.
I loved your scenes in the second season.
We talked about off mic, about when I went to see, when I inevitably randomly saw Adam Sandler on stage, and there's a whole wave of people that came on, Zach Galifianakis. But another person that came on stage, I didn't say her name because I didn't know if anyone would know it, is Jackie Tone, who's in Floaters. I was doing some...
Oh, yeah, cool. She's great.
Yeah, she was on stage. Great. She sang a song. She was great because she was doing that wrestling show at the time.
Yeah, she was doing Glow.
Glow, exactly. So, she could tell you about that night with Adam Sandler and Zach and your man from Travis. And also Sewage Joe, Kirk Fox. It was a good night. James, tell us about you.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. 3 is the number 3, ruleofthreeinc.com. And I have a Kickstarter going on right now for my comic series. Junior is, spooky hijinks. Think about, Beetlejuice, the Mummy movies, stuff like that is the vibe. It's a lot of fun. So if you can spare, donate. Digital copies are available around the world. And if you want a physical copy, just let me know. If you have kids, I do a lot of kids programming. The new Fairly Odd Parents should be coming out. I wrote on that and do some small voices on that. And I also, and that should be available on Netflix globally. And I'm not sure about some of the other stuff. Like if our PBS stuff is viewable viewable in other places. But I play I play a regular on a PBS Kids show as well. So, you know, depending on where you are in the world, you may or may not be able to see that.
Well, check out Adam Abbott Elementary. You appear in one episode of that, and I remember it's like, that's him. That's James.
Yes. I'm in one episode of a lot of shows.
Well, that's how a lot of people start, you know? And then, yeah. Then suddenly you're like, I saw him before from The Thing. From The Thing.
Yeah. He was that. Remember when he did
the Leo meme. It's that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Talking to us.
Thanks for having us. Super fun. You guys are great at what you do.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for going on. Bye.
Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the mighty people for their mighty, mighty tunes and Rockwood Audio's editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.